Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, Director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. I know you probably hear it all the time, and I know you hear it from me too, that I am glad you joined us here. And it isn't that I'm glad you joined us here just because, well, I want you to listen to what I say. I'm glad you joined us here because the Union Gospel Mission is a mission that is really given itself to being an ambassador of God's Word. So that, in other words, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the number one thing that we have at the mission. So what's that look like? What's that mean? It means that instead of just trying to draw in money or trying to expand or trying to get bigger or trying to have the latest, greatest ministry on the block, what it is for us is that, as my friend Robert Briggs has said many times, our middle name is gospel. And so we want the gospel message to go out. And so I have talked to so many people, including staff members, that I have a couple that sometimes their past comes back to haunt them. And I have to remind them that Christ died to set us free, those who will believe. And so we are new creations in Christ. Steve Gasser, who is the producer here and the voice of KFIA, and I know you guys have all heard him. I get the opportunity to sit and talk with him every time I come into the studio. Before we get going, we have conversations, and sometimes it's deep, and sometimes it's just about nothing. But sometimes nothing helps out. And so as we were talking about the integrity of things, and we were talking about how some people dance with the truth, as we're talking about how people perceive themselves, I was thinking about the fact that if in the last few weeks, I've had a couple of incidents with different people who own companies, and they showed integrity and kindness, and they just went far beyond. I don't know if I can mention their names on the air, but if they ever talk to me in person, I can tell you that these guys did okay. But I also am concerned about the person who is out there, and I've also been reading. I read the Bible every day. Right now, I've been doing Numbers and Psalms and Luke, and then at night, Revelation. And so as I'm reading through Numbers, the Old Testament, obviously, and I'm seeing the stringent rules, I see that, you know, a man was found outside of the camp on the Sabbath, and he's collecting sticks, and they took him out to the edge of the town, and they stoned him to death. And I know the God we serve. I know that he is a God of compassion, sometimes wrath. And so on the surface, you would see something like that, and you would say to yourself, well, okay, but he just was picking up a few sticks. See, that's not the point. The point isn't that he was picking up a few sticks. The point of that message being for us, at least for me at that time, was that we so easily take our God for granted. It's never a matter of just the sin on the outside. It's what precipitated that. What causes you to sin? It's always a heart problem. It's always something inside. And we are to be God's messengers, God's his men, his ambassadors. You know, and I was looking at 2 Corinthians, and in 5:16 it says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So when you're out there today and you are worried about the past, you're worried about your actions, remember this, that you are a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciled to the world, or reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So, where we're going with this, and this is not a sermon, I was just thinking of these scriptures as we were sitting here, but I wanted us to understand what the difference is between our old nature, when we were enemies and alienated from God, and who we are now in Christ Jesus. And you've heard the phrase, it's not anything I made up, that, you know, we are saved by grace alone, absolutely alone. But the grace that saves is in itself never alone. Works are there. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. But so many times we see that spectrum of, hey, I've come to Christ. I got my ticket out of hell. I don't need to do anything. And the reality is that's not true either. If you truly come to Christ, what are you? You're a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. You are a new creation in Christ. And that new creation given to God with a transformed heart. And yes, you're not going to have a transformed heart and you just are always doing the right thing. No, after all these years, many times I have not done the right thing. But if you come to Christ and there's no transformation, there's nothing that has changed you in any way, you really didn't meet Christ. You didn't really get transformation. Somebody may have told you you did. That didn't make it the case. And so when we come to Christ, there is always a change in our nature because the old has passed away. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who's also a pastor, and I said, you know, it's funny. So many times people think that James is more the book of the law, and in fact, he's of grace as well. And when he says that, I'll show you my grace, I'll show you my faith by my works, he's not saying that he's adding works to that. He's saying that in a transformed life, you are naturally going to start to look at the goodness of God, the works of God, and want to participate in that. So I was telling him, and I said, you know, when we get to these kind of discussions, I said, you know, I've performed a fair amount of weddings, and it would be very easy for me to say at the end of a wedding, now I pronounce you man and wife. Now, go and work out your marriage with fear and trembling, just like the Bible tells us that you now need to go out and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Does it mean that you need to work these things out to get your salvation? No, it doesn't mean that. It means you are saved. And if you are saved, now the journey is go work out your salvation. You have been given this great gift, and it is a gift of God. You didn't do anything to do it. You weren't better than the guy next to you, smarter than the guy next to you. You weren't somehow just, you know, God's gift to the world. No, it was a work of God, lest any man should boast. Having said that we still, with that transformed heart, we fall in love with the Savior. And as we fall in love with the Savior and we fall in love with God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, blessed Trinity, right? Then our natural inclination is to do good works. That's what the Bible says. You're saved unto good works. And so when we see Christians out there that are not exactly good ambassadors, and by the way, for those of you out there that know me and you say to yourself, well, I don't think he was always a good example, let me tell you something. You're absolutely right. Many times I have not been the example I should. I can almost guarantee you neither have you been. But we were dead in our transgressions. We weren't sick. We weren't really, really close to the edge. We were dead in our transgressions and in our sins. And God made us alive so we could hear his voice, respond to that. And having done that, we need to be on our knees grateful that God would take such as us and transform us from who we were to what he wants us to be. And every day in your walk of sanctification, which simply means that after you have come to Christ, you have a whole lifetime that you are going to be walking in sanctification as God makes you more Christ-like. And then once again, at the end of your life, those that are truly believers, you will be glorified and be with him in the heavenlies. And so in that meantime, we need to be, as the Bible says in 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Can you imagine that? God is using you as an ambassador of Christ to reach other people for the kingdom of God. He wants us to be his hands and his feet. You know, that's why Christ said, go to the outermost parts of the world and bring the gospel to them. But we need to remember we are ambassadors. When you're driving down the road, somebody has cut you off, and you become very angry at them, you need to remember that you are an ambassador of Christ. And even though they may not be able to see that you're a Christian, you know who you are. God knows who you are. And I can tell you, how embarrassed would you be if you're driving down the road and you got cut off, it was somebody else's fault, but you were cussing and yelling and motioning to them, only to find out that you guys were headed to the same Christian concert or the same Christian conference. How embarrassing would that be, and how convicting would it be for you? So just stop for a minute and think about that. Again, all this to say that we are new creations in Christ, and sometimes we are still plagued by that old man that we carry around, that dead flesh, the way we act, the way we talk, the anger that comes out of us. And I'm as guilty as anybody else. Matter of fact, it hasn't been very long ago that I was angry about something. But the bottom line is, and there is a time, by the way, to be righteously angry. But I would say 99% of the time when we get angry, the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. And I would be willing to bet you about 99% of the time, you or I might be angry, but it's certainly not righteously. And so, again, I appeal to all of us to understand that we are saved unto good works, and then to look around and act with integrity in our jobs and in our homes, with our wives, with our friends, with the strangers and our enemies, to act as the children of God that we are. No longer enemies of God, no longer alienated, hopeless, but we have been part of this wonderful work to bring the gospel message to the world. So at the mission, that is the aim, to make it every day a little more Christ-like. Are we perfect there? Oh, no, not even close. Am I perfect in my life? No, not even close. Are my good friends around me perfect? No, sorry. And I know a lot of pastors, and they would be the first ones, those ones that are really walking with Christ would be the very first people to tell you that they fall short of being, of walking with integrity and honesty all the time. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying these men go out and lie. I'm not saying that they go out and cheat on their wives or do anything like that. But the perfection of Christ, who walked sinlessly, you know, we can violate those things in our words, in our deeds, in the very thoughts we have. And I would challenge anybody out there today to examine your life, examine your thought life and your prayer life and your desires and your motivations. What motivates you? Is it the love of God and the respect of humanity and the desire to preach the gospel? Or is it a self-centered, serving thing that you want to go out and you just want to gain for yourself everything that goes on? It's a vast difference. Listen, I've known Christian men and women that have done things that they are truly ashamed of. And sometimes those things are maybe worse than what some of the people in the world are. But here's the difference. The difference is the motivation of their heart is not to do those things. It is the motivation of their heart to serve God. And being flawed, broken people, sometimes they don't act that way. It always makes me laugh when people say, well, I made a mistake. Oh, really? What was your mistake that you made? Well, you know, I stole something, or I cheated on my taxes or something. And I tell them, okay, but you didn't make a mistake. You jumped into sin and you did it with both feet and you wanted to do it. Because sometimes people do what they want to do and then later on it's a mistake. Well, no. It isn't a mistake. A mistake is I'm driving down the road and I make the wrong turn and I'm going the wrong direction on a highway or on a street. That's a mistake, not a sin. But me picking up something that's inappropriate and looking at it, that's not a mistake. That's a sin. And so I just know from so many men at the mission, that they are plagued by their past, that they have forgotten their new creations in Christ. And sometimes it's because they're not reading in their words. Let me ask you this. Obviously, you can't answer me, but but I'm going to assume you do. How often are you in your Bible? How often are you on your knees? Or if not on your knees, how many times are your heads bowed and you're in prayer? Whether it's walking around the room with your head bowed, sitting in a chair with your head bowed, whether you're driving on the road and hopefully your eyes are not closed, because that's a whole different issue. We can talk about it at a different time. But you're driving down the road. You think that you can't be in prayer? Oh, sometimes on the road you should be on prayer, because you know what kind of anger can come up from the way other people drive. You know what your mind can do if you start to let it wander. It's going to go places you don't want it to go. And you know, all sin and all transgression like that starts with a single little thought. And then you water it, and then it grows, and it expands, and before long, it takes over. I told you all this once before, but here it comes again. I was reading a thing about a Boy Scout leader who had taken some youths out into the forest. Now, granted, I don't think you probably should have done this if it's a true story, but he told one of the, they were talking about sin, and I'm sorry, it wasn't even a Boy Scout, it was a youth group from a church. And so he was a youth pastor. And so, He he took and he pulled up this little plant, and it was a little seedling, I guess. And so he told one of the boys, go ahead, pull that one up. They replanted them later, I'm sure. And so he pulled it up. He said, yeah, was that easy? He said, yeah. So he told another boy, said, okay, you pull up this one. It was a little bit bigger. And so finally he went through the children, and they had pulled up these different plants, and now they're getting bigger and bigger. And now there's a great big old tree. And he said, now I want you guys to go over there, and I want you to wrap your arms around that tree, and I want you to jerk on it and pull it out of the ground. Well, they went over there and they said, well, we can't do that. This is a full-grown tree. He said, that's right. He said, and there's sin for you right there. It starts with a very little thing, and if you take care of it right away, if you go to the Lord, you go to your knees, you go to a friend and talk to them, you go to your pastor, you pull that out, and that sin is fairly easy for you to get out. But then you don't do that. You water it a little bit, you cultivate it a little bit, you trim around the soil, and now it gets a little bigger. And it's a little harder to pull out until finally it's so big that you find it impossible. And by the way, two words that are absolutely some of the most wonderful words in all the Bible are, but God. And so that big tree that has grown into a redwood that shadows everything is impossible for you to take care of. Yes, it is impossible for you to take care of, but it is not impossible for God to take care of, but God. And so when we deal with our neighbors, when we deal with our friends, when we deal with our enemies, and when we deal with our families, our children, our wives, our mothers, our fathers, do we not need to do the same thing with the sins and the transgressions we do with them, and remembering that all sin and all transgression ultimately is against God? And so, as Steve Gasser and I were talking earlier, we were just recounting some of the things that had either hurt us or made us angry over the last of our lifetime in the last month, day, week, whatever the case is. We both came to that understanding together that we are the only ones that can allow those things to take root. Disagreements, anger with somebody, hatred, malice, all those kind of things. And I can tell you right now, and I give you my word of honor, some of those people that I've argued with or had problems with, I also pray for them every day. And I don't pray with a malice prayer. God, when you strike them, make it quick. No, I pray for them, and I pray for my heart that it be softened towards them. I would like all of you guys to do that likewise. And so that is what the essence too of what I want people at the mission to understand. Because when the people on the street look at us, I want them to see Christ in us, because that's really the only good part of us. And so, my dear friends, on a gloomy day like it may be today, just remember you are a new creation in Christ. And as always, my dear friends, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of His hand.
Listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.